And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bumming the Bloom, episode 309, coming at you live on Tuesday night to continue our positional previews for the 2026 fantasy baseball season, heading to the hot corner, third base, to get you through a drudge of a position. We'll get you through that, news, and more. But before we get there, some housekeeping and the usuals. You can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
Doing all right. Welcome back, man. You're looking nice and sun-kissed. So I'm jealous. Hope you had a good time.
I had a great time. Like, the lowest I ever got was like 75. Woke up this morning. It was 36. It was lovely.
Yep. Hope you had a good time. I held down the fort while you were on another one of your vacations.
We gotta
do something around here. So
pot, meat, kettle.
Manage the draft kit, the tools, you know, all that stuff. It's all good. Don't worry about it. Listener leagues, we're good.
Did you see what the actual production looks like on the draft kit for the first time?
Yeah. Pick a piece.
I know, I'm kidding. No, thank you for doing that. It was great. Got away for a couple days, but we're back. We're doing it. We got this show tonight. We got listener leagues to talk about. We got Wednesday night show we're going to mention in a minute. All kinds of stuff coming your way. So other than that, you good? Life's good? Bloomfield, life's good? Everything?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's busy as hell, but busy's good. Busy's what keeps us going. So busy, yeah, all good here. Good.
I'm with you. So let's talk listener leagues. Let's get people updated here. Again, 10 leagues this year at the most, which means 150 teams, 148 minus me and Ryan, of course. We have well over 100 signed up already. Ryan sent out the survey to get people's dates and times. We're getting that locked in. NFBC's chomping at the bit to set these up. So that I'll let Ryan talk about that in a minute. But as usual, they're $50. Auction 15 team leagues, so there'll be cash prizes for first, second, and third in each league. But we do have overall prizes once again this season, courtesy of Baseball HQ, who are kind enough to support the show and partner up with us once again. The overall winner, not just the league winner, the overall winner gets a free First Pitch Arizona registration, which is pretty cool. And Ryan can elaborate on all this in a second. If you're a league winner, besides your monetary prizes that you get, you get a 2027 Baseball HQ full year subscription. So that is pretty cool. You get those extra prizes on top of the monetary winnings as well.
Absolutely. So the sign up went out this week for paid Patreon subscribers. So again, those folks get first shot, guaranteed spots. So fill those up as quickly as you can, or respond as quickly as you can with your preferred time slots, and we'll get rocking and rolling on that. And then anyone who's reached out to us, who's a free member, we will get to you very shortly here. So things are looking good for the listener leagues. Yes, thank you to Baseball HQ for sponsoring this deal. We have a promo code from Baseball HQ. It's a hell of a promo code.
Great promo code. I go on vacation and I come back and they're throwing gifts my way. Flowers, literally. I felt like I went to a luau again. It was absolutely amazing.
I will let you unveil the promo code.
And the best part, similar to my emails that keep getting lost, I missed the two messages that went through on Sunday, but on Monday, I saw the promo code and caught up with things. If you'd like to check out Baseball HQ's draft prep subscription, you can get $10 off by using promo code BUBBA26. 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 Thank you, Ray Murphy and Brent Hershey, for a wonderful, wonderful promo code Bubba, BUBBA26, for $10 off your draft prep subscription.
Yeah, that draft prep sub is full site access through April. So it's all the content, all the baseball HQ tools, the projections, all the minor league stuff. Baseball HQ just today dropped their HQ 100, which is their top 100 fantasy prospect list. A couple round tables, discussions among the writers, Chris Blessing and folks. Coming later this week, so a really good minor league resource as well. But yeah, if you want to check out everything Baseball HQ has to offer, I'm going to start up the Speculator next week. Bubba, you, I assume, are starting Playing Time tomorrow.
Yep.
Collins up pretty soon. So
it started this week. We're doing two a week, so I have my first one dropping next week, and then in a couple of weeks it'll be three a week, And I think it's like at the end of this month or the beginning of February, it's weekly again.
There you go. So great site. I'm biased, obviously, but I use the projections for my own rankings that are awesome and updated by a whole team of playing time analysts, which is huge. So yeah, Bubba26 is the promo code. Save $10 off Draft Prep Sub. That's open now. So any listeners to the show, to give to you all, check out Baseball HQ. It's well worth it.
And they're going to have weekly kind of themes coming up this year to kind of get you going throughout draft season. It'll be pretty cool to see all that comes together. Other than that, not a whole lot else than listener league grind, unless you have anything else to add.
No, just, yeah, if you are a paid Patreon sub, again, check the Patreon. You should get an email that came out Monday afternoon with the link to the survey to request your draft spots. There's 10 different draft spots, second half of February. Get those to us as soon as you can so I can start slotting folks in leagues. And very much appreciate you all participating in the listener leagues. The momentum is, people are stoked. It's going to be fun. Our goal is to have every single league streamed, every single auction live streamed. I think we're going to be able to do that. We have a small army of live streamers ready and waiting to roll with their auctions.
And just because we're saying the survey's out, there still are spots available. So if you are still interested in joining the listener league, let us know. We'll get you up and on the list and get the survey sent to your direction as well. A little side thing for Patreon members, going to throw this one out there. We threw it in the Discord a couple weeks ago. It filled in 30 minutes. A 15-team DC auction. Just a custom private one just for us. Has nothing to do with anything, overalls or anything like that. But we're going to do a Patreon bonus stream Wednesday evening. So if you're a Patreon member, you'll be able to watch Ryan and I live stream the DC auction, the first 23 picks, obviously, to fill your roster before we slow draft it the rest of the way. But that'll be starting at 6 p.m. Eastern, or no, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Wednesday night. Ryan and I will be throwing that out to the Patreon as a little extra bonus to the support you guys give us. We'll give you guys back something else. It'll help you learn the NFBC auction software drafting in theory. It'll give you a lot of laughs because, well, I don't know what I'm doing half the time. So it'll be a lot of the only thing I'm good at is giving Ryan a hard time. So it'll be a lot of fun.
I mean, it sounds like your spreadsheet's coming along real nicely to prep for the auction on Wednesday night.
Like this.
Pretty blank right now for folks listening on the pod, but yeah, that's going to be a ton of fun. Me and you and 13 others from the Discord doing an auction, just doing, yeah, the format's awesome. We kind of wish NFBC did more of them, but it's an auction for your starters. And then, like you said, you draft and hold the reserves. We're just going to do the auction Wednesday night, but we will stream that for Patreon folks. So the link will be out sometime during the day on Wednesday. Keep an eye out for that. And yeah, tons of laughs, I'm sure, on Wednesday night.
Yes, indeed. Bring your beverage of choice.
Yes.
All right, let's get to some news and notes before we attack the third base position here. And again, we'll be plugging a lot of things once you guys fill up the league, so it'll be a lot quicker and less of that up front. Just giving you a heads up there. Chicago Cubs surprised all of us. All of us. I was drinking a high noon by a body of water when this took place. Shocked me. Alex Bregman signs with Chicago Cubs. This is because the Boston Red Sox dropped the ball on this one. Like, the more news that comes out with this, if I'm a Red Sox fan, not happy. Just going to throw that one out there if you guys needed more fuel to the fire. But Bregman goes to the Cubs. He'll play third base. Obviously, the question now is, like, where's Matt Shaw going to go? Is this really mean Nico Horner's going to trade? There's levels to this, Ryan. But what were your thoughts when you saw Bregman sign with Chicago Cubs? And, like, literally, the Bears were losing 21-3 and came back and won like right after the signing. It was crazy.
Yeah, great night for Chicago sports fans on Saturday night. My first thought went to Matt Shaw, because honestly, the Bregman, like, I don't know, for me, I don't know if it does for you, like, for me, it doesn't change anything with Bregman. We knew he was going to sign somewhere. We knew he probably wasn't going to sign for some awful team. So not much for Bregman specifically changes for me as someone who's drafted Matt Shaw a couple times. That's my immediate concern, right? Like, as of now, as of recording, I don't think Matt Shaw has a starting spot on the Cubs, and that's a concern if you drafted Matt Shaw as a late third baseman or a corner infielder. Not to say the Cubs aren't going to make more moves here. I guess Nico Horner's been rumored to be dangled to your Giants, among some other options there in San Francisco. So my gut is that the Cubs are not done yet, and that they will make room for Matt Shaw. Maybe they will move Matt Shaw. I don't know. But it's interesting. The ADP on Matt Shaw has not really changed that much. I pull it up in the tracker. Matt Shaw ADP over the last 7 days has been like 180 and has only gone over 200 in four of the last 20 drafts. So the market is kind of assuming Matt Shaw is going to stay either with the Cubs or somewhere, but however he ends up is going to have a starting role. I tend to agree with that. It's just right now it looks a little dicey.
It does look a little dicey. I feel like, you know, everything will work out in the end as they usually do on this one, because the one thing I'm pretty positive that won't happen is people said, oh, Matt Shaw can play right field and Suzuki can play DH and then Ballesteros goes to the minors. Like, that's a lot of I don't think is going to happen type deal.
Right,
like, it could happen, but like more realistically, Nico Horner is going to get dealt is what it feels like. And it's just lines things up for that because the Cubs were looking for a pitcher, and this is why they can move more pieces around so they can make the Bregman to get the Shaw. We'll highlight this real quick. We talked about it before the last show, Ryan, and then it happened right after the show, like we kind of predicted would happen. Edward Cabrera officially was traded to the Cubs. We hit on Cabrera going to the Cubs part, but it opened the door for Owen Casey went to Miami. We kind of speculated that'd be the big piece. There were some other pieces, but first off, we'll stick there because we'll talk about the Marlins rotation in a second after the other trade that was made today. But what was your thoughts on Owen Casey going to the Marlins, or do you have anything else to say about Cabrera in Chicago?
No, not really. I mean, we covered it last show. Owen Casey, I mean, I guess it's probably a good thing for redraft value for Owen Casey late in draft and holds. Probably has a strong side platoon, a worst case for the Marlins. So you like to see playing time on a bad team. I feel like that's one of our slogans on the show at this point. But maybe there's a merch idea there somehow.
Oh, it's already in the back of my head. Don't you worry.
But I don't know, man. Owen Casey, I'm still very skeptical, at least for 2026. Like, it was an almost 30% strikeout rate in AAA last year, 40% in the majors, and a limited sample for Casey last season. So we'll see. For me, it's a slight upgrade for Owen Casey, but not someone who I'm prioritizing unless it's reserve rounds and draft and holds, which is somewhat of a backhanded compliment this time of year.
Yeah, I have some Casey because of late picks, but like over the last seven drafts, his ADP is 367, so he's moving up. He's gone.
That's not insignificant.
No, it's 308 to 487 is the realm over the last 20, and pretty much since that deal, it feels since that 487 pick, it's been there's a couple 400s in there. Most of them are in the 300s and middle to low 300s right now.
Well, so the next, this will shock nobody, but the next outfielder, according to the ADP tracker, complete opposite type guy, Andrew Benintendi at like 404. At least in a draft and hold, I'm taking Benintendi every single time.
Yeah,
again, for sure. to the surprise of nobody, I'm going to go with the old. Maybe in a fab league that changes, if Casey doesn't work out, you can drop him and move on. But I don't know. I'm not thrilled with Casey.
Yep. The other trade I mentioned a second ago took place on Tuesday, today. Ryan Weathers traded to the New York Yankees for four prospects, according to our buddy Martin Sokolsky in the Discord. A couple of the prospects have been on the rise of late in the Yankee system. I don't know what kind of impact they'll have this year, per se. But you got Ryan Weathers joining the Yankees rotation that's going to have Carlos Rodon out for at least the first month or two. You have Gerrit Cole out until probably after the All-Star break, give or take. So on roster resource, you have Max Fried, Cam Schlittler, Will Warren, Ryan Weathers, Luis Eel. Still not a warm and fuzzy feeling rotation there. Weathers could help, though, that's for sure. So what are your thoughts on Weathers going to the Bronx?
I mean, for the Yankees, it makes sense. I feel like Weathers can be that bridge in the first half until those names that you mentioned kind of come back and are ready to go in the second half. Cause I need to see Ryan Weathers make it through a season. 100%. I mean, 87 innings in 2024, 53 innings last year. This is one guy where, like, I mean, remember the hype on Ryan Weathers in spring training last year, on higher velocity, blah, blah, blah. And then his arm just broke. And a lot of times, like, that happens when these guys reach new velocities. It's like, yes, you can do the Christopher Sanchez and be good and break out and hold an entire season mostly at that higher velocity, or you can throw, you know, speeds that your arm's never thrown before and you break down like Ryan Weathers. I mean, the velocity 4 years ago was 93.5, then 94.5, then 95.5. Last year was 96.7, and it just kind of died. So for fantasy, like, yes, I still like, I mean, I don't mind Weathers at the price. I think it's around
320.
Like, that's fine. You want to shoot for upside and breakouts at that point, but you just kind of have to pray that the innings at least gets to triple digits. And maybe, I mean, you would assume the Yankees did their due diligence in the medicals in this trade, giving up four prospects.
That, well, as we found out, think the health would check out. We found with Grace Rodriguez, they don't have to do a physical for a trade. Remember, found that out. You don't have to.
We should hold the Yankees to a higher standard than
you'd hope. So,
whatever team Grayson Rodriguez is on these
Angels,
days.
Angels.
Yeah, then the Angels. Yeah, yes. Of course,
the higher. The bar is low there in Tinseltown. It's with Disney down the road. You know, you were there. Yeah,
just past the stadium. There was no one there. But I don't know. Maybe you could. I mean, that could be an argument for Weathers, is that the Yankees feel good enough about Weathers' arm that he can make it through at least most of 2026. And if Ryan Weathers does that, it's a pretty nice stab at the 320 price.
With Weathers gone, with Cabrera gone in Miami, we have a rotation with Sandy, Yuri Perez. Then you're hoping Max Meyer comes back healthy. Braxton Garrett comes back healthy. You have Jansen Junk, potentially, who's super late in drafts. I was taking him late, just hoping to get like 10 to 15 starts. But more importantly, we have a couple prospects who Robbie Snelling's been mentioned everywhere. He was on the prospect show. Martin Sokolsky was on with me. Yep. So Robbie Snelling's a big one. And then Thomas White is a guy that Martin mentioned as well on that show. Like, two guys that I checked off immediately when he mentioned them on my Bench with Bubba DC prospect show. And both of them are very live now. I even seen Eric Cross mention that Snelling really should start the season this rotation, and Thomas White should be up no later than midseason. If, like, he could be up much earlier. So these are two guys that definitely going to have some helium behind them, and potentially justifiably so.
Yeah, especially for Robbie Snelling, though. He is starting to rise in ADP. I think Snelling's going to be in the rotation and has a decent chance to be pretty good out of the rotation. But yeah, with this latest move, it's Thomas White for me is the mover. I don't think he's up immediately. 45 innings at Double A last year, just 9 innings at Triple A. So probably needs a little more seasoning in Thomas White's upcoming age 21 season, but can't argue with a 27% K minus walk in Double A last year with a ton of swinging strikes. 159 ERA, 119 whip. So Thomas White is absolutely a name to keep an eye on. I'm sure we'll talk about Thomas White in Fab Leagues, but also he was drafted today in my 12-team NFBC draft and hold in like the low 30s rounds, which to me makes sense. I like the talent. I think the spot in the rotation is going to be there maybe at some point in the first half.
Yeah, he threw nearly 90 innings throughout the minors last year, so yeah, 130 this year across all platforms could definitely play. If he goes and gives you 30 to 50 innings at AAA, and then you bring him up, like, there's definitely room to go there. One other thing I wanted to mention with the Yankees getting Weathers, since we talked about the Marlins guys, they were rumored to guys like Peralta and company. It makes me wonder what the asking price is there. If the Marlins got four prospects, now they're not elite, so I think the Brewers want like a person they can use now, essentially. But I want to know what that asking price is if that deal didn't get done. All right. Arizona Diamondbacks. This was a doozy. Absolute doozy. That shook the tool man's just tool belt on this one. Arizona Diamondbacks, they traded for Nolan Arenado. The Cardinals are paying $31 million of the $42 million remaining on this deal. I can't even tell you the prospect they got back, Jackson. I think it's just like it's almost like the Rockies Cardinals deal all over again, it feels like. But Arenado is going to be the starting third baseman in Arizona. So, Jordan Lawler, you are relegated full-time to the outfield, it looks like.
Yeah, like, I don't know, man. Arenado, I mean, this was a pure salary dump for, I'm surprised.
Third one so far for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious what the Cardinals are doing, which, again, to go back to what I said earlier, this is decent from a fantasy perspective. There are decent playing time opportunities for new names in St. Louis. But yeah, Nolan Arenado is going to be the everyday third baseman. It's interesting. I thought there was an error in my third base Bloom board that we're going to show tonight, because Nolan Arenado was not listed among the top 30 third baseman at ADP. And no, it was not an error. So Nolan Arenado, obviously a shell of what he once was. It's crazy, man. The last 2 years, a Mason Wynn-esque barrel rate, like 3.5%, just awful. So I guess a minor upgrade going from what will be a pretty rough St. Louis lineup to Arizona, which at least has some thump. But Arenado's rough. There's something he said for rostering playing time, but it's pretty bad playing time. And even the defensive metrics for Arenado is starting to go down too. So I don't even think there's much of a big upgrade for like any ground ball pitchers on Arizona either. It's I think Arenado at third base was like ninth in outs above average, just above league average there. So not too good.
Yeah, I could see a world where Arenado spends more time at DH than third base as the season goes along.
I mean, I don't know who else they have at third. I mean, like, people were hoping for Tim the Toolman, Jordan Lawler, Blaze Alexander. Blaze. Maybe he goes to the outfield, but yeah, I don't know.
Well, let's talk St. Louis for a second because you mentioned more playing time here. And I remember this is another one when I was talking with Martin. It's like when Arenado gets dealt, like, does Gorman go to third? Do they call up? This is the Weatherholt situation to play third. I think that's got a lot of legs to it. If Brendan Donovan gets traded, it's officially a JJ Weatherholt season. But like, there's, like, to your point, there continues to be more openings here. The other thing I'll mention, a really great tweet, even though it was from this is from Locked On Cardinals. After trades involving Sonny Gray, Wilson Contreras, and Nolan Arenado, the Cardinals are paying a combined $59 million for them not to play for them this season.
Sounds good.
That's like more payroll than the Twins and other teams in baseball. It's pretty strong stuff. Anything else on Cardinals playing time, though?
No, I mean, I think J.J. Weatherholt is – there's been rumblings, and I know Martin has kind of hinted at this with on his draft and hold show with you for redraft earlier this year. It sounds like J.J. Weatherholt is they're trying to make room for Weatherholt. And I think we talked about it on our shortstop preview. You know, Weatherholt versus Connor Griffin versus, that was the other guy, McGonagall.
J.J. McGonagall.
I think Weatherholt, the playing time seems like it's going to be there, reading between the lines. They can move him over to third base. So I think that's probably the prime beneficiary, hopefully by opening day. We'll see.
And don't stop now, but the D-backs made another trade. They traded Jake McCarthy to the Colorado Rockies, which may not seem like much, but you get McCarthy a chance to go run around in that outfield. I'm not saying go run and draft him, but it definitely just adds another platoon to the situation there.
It does, and I mean, Colorado, like, we'll see about the playing time, but it is a batting average haven, and for someone like Jake McCarthy who can put bat on ball, it's been a sub-20% strikeout rate in each of the last three seasons for Jake McCarthy. Hit 204 last year, terrible, but hit 285 the year before. Like, someone who just puts the ball in play and can run. This is, I could see like a good Tyler Freeman type season out of Jake McCarthy. So we'll see about the playing time. I'm still not completely sure. It looks like it'll probably be a strong side platoon role for now. I can't see Jake McCarthy being an everyday player, even for the Rockies. But there will definitely be weeks on Fab Previews this year where we are touting Jake McCarthy, because in right-handed heavy weeks, especially at home, get those hits, start running. That could be pretty juicy.
Yeah, his ADP is 502 over the last seven DCs, but 376, 558, 402, 544, 443 the last five drafts that have taken place in DC. So it's all over the board right now. Keep an eye on that. Michael Lorenzen signs with the Colorado Rockies if you're looking for a road streamer.
I guess you're half serious now. I'd rather gouge my eyes out than draft Michael Lorenzen, and especially on the Rockies.
I was drafting him everywhere because he has a post like 700 ADP in his last five drafts, ADP 685. I was thinking, because I knew he'd sign somewhere. I was 29 other places sounded a lot better than that one.
I mean, road streamer, what, on the road to what? Los Angeles, San Francisco, I guess the Giants, okay. I don't know.
Padres aren't, doesn't scare me. No, it's good. All right, Max Kepler, one of your favorites, suspended 80 games for PEDs.
Yeah, not great. Not great at all. I drafted some Max Kepler.
Oh, I know.
Sound happy.
No. I was with you on this. So no.
Brutal. And doesn't have a team. So if I'm not mistaken, is not eligible for the postseason. So it may make signing with a team in the second half, especially a good team, be quite difficult. And why would a bad team sign Max Kepler in the second half when they can maybe just see what they have in the minor leagues? So not great. Not feeling good about any Max Kepler picks that I have made this year.
Last bit of news here dropped on Tuesday. The Kansas City Royals are moving their outfield fences in 10 feet and lowering the height of the fences. It might just be a minimal thing. Might be a big thing. Who knows? I think it's going to help, obviously, some guys. It depends if you believe in StatCast sheets. I saw Alex Fast, I saw Cross, and others put them out there. It would have really helped certain players a lot in the home run department. But I guess time will tell on this one. I think it can't do anything but help. It's not going to hurt. Let's put it that way.
I think it's a big deal. Instantly you see kind of the StatCast overlays of Kauffman with, you know, Mikel Garcia, who we'll talk about this evening at third base, the Pasquatch, all those guys. And I think that does matter. Like I always cringe when I see the ballpark overlays for guys that change teams, because just so much is different. Elevation, batting eye, parks are different. This is truly an apples. It's the same damn park. Moving in 10 feet with lower fences. I think this will make a somewhat big difference for a lot of Kansas City hitters. Now, I think the biggest thing, though, it's not a complete positive. Shorter walls, and we see this with Yankee Stadium park factors. As walls move in, there's less outfield space. It's actually probably a negative in terms of batting average for Kansas City. So don't just assume it's a widespread positive. I think it's still a net positive for any Kansas City hitter, probably a net negative for any Kansas City fly ball pitcher, but it's not 100% positive across the board. Batting average will probably drop a little bit when we look at Kauffman park factors for next year, but I think the home run boost, and I think it could be significant just looking at some of these spray charts for what some of these guys did in the same stadium with the same batting eye at the same elevation, et cetera, et cetera. That could be a big deal.
Yeah, we're talking anywhere from like 8 to 10 at least, but like on some of these deals, that's a big deal.
I think, I mean, again, we'll talk about Mikel Garcia, but I saw almost 10 home runs.
Yes. I wish this could have like waited a little longer. I know they couldn't, but when I'm already so high on Vinny P and Mikel Garcia, like we're going to get to Mikel. He's like my top roster third baseman. So it's great that I got the shares I got, but that's going to change probably now when this news comes out. Flip side, and I agree with the batting average take. That's a great point you made there. This does hurt the Michael Wacha, Seth Lugos of the world, the guys that rely on more contact than others. This is going to sting a bit. I have a feeling there's going to be a few more balls that go to, you know, if Castellanos comes up to bat in a game in Kansas City, it might be a little rough.
Hey, you left out your guy from the rotation there, Noah Cameron.
Oh, and they show someone in the Discord mentioned he had better road numbers than home numbers already anyways. So just let it go, buddy. Let it go. Embrace Noah Cameron. Embrace it. All right. Let's get to third base. Enough of that. Let's talk third base. We teased it with the Mikel Garcia stuff, but let's bring the chart up. Let's do the dance. Let everybody know what they're looking at. It's our standard positional preview board.
Yeah. So this is the, for folks kind of just joining us, getting back into the groove of baseball season. First off, welcome back. Welcome back to the good side compared to that other sport. But, this is what we've been doing with every position. It's the top 30 by position by preseason ADP over the last 30 days from the NFBC. And then we kind of overlaying that with color-coded projections for batting average, home runs, and steals from a variety of different projection systems off of FanGraphs. For me, it's in third base is an interesting position. There's actually there's a great amount of power among like the top 10. Really, 8 of the top 10 are projected to hit over 25 home runs, which is and two of those guys, that the two that are not, are Mikel Garcia and Noelvi Marte, who can do other things. So I actually feel like it's a pretty robust top 10, 11 at third base. If I'm going to include Matt Chapman there at ADP 171, I think after that, it gets ugly very quickly at first base. And we'll see. We'll kind of do our recap at the end of the show after we work through individual players. But to me, there's a pretty big kind of cliff here after that top 11 at third base. So if I'm trying to kind of craft a draft strategy here, it's anything after that Matt Chapman for me gets pretty dicey pretty quick. Not too many stolen base sources. Obviously, you got your J-Ram and Jazz near the top. Late it's Jose Caballero and Caleb Durbin, but that's pretty much it in terms of steals. Maybe Royce Lewis, who I'm sure we'll talk about, but yeah, it really falls off, especially like batting average and power, honestly, after that top 11. So it's a pretty, for me, pretty big, clear, decent top group, but I think it gets ugly pretty quick at the position for your late third base / corner.
It gets ugly, but at the same time, I'll at least say it's like you could have your what ifs, your optimism as you go through with your Lewis's. Isak Paredes healthy could be different. What's Murakami and Okamoto do? Like those are questions, obviously. Does Brett Beatty find the next level as you've convinced me to have hope for? Same with Miguel Vargas. So there's like that next tier after the kind of elite tier Ryan mentioned. It's an optimistic tier if you like. It's what you half full or half empty is where you want to be in this next group. Once you drop down to the bare end, it's pretty brutal, as we will talk about here. There are a lot of second basemen with third base eligibility here. So there's a reason they're way down there because second base is that bad. They just sneak in there. And like Ryan mentioned, Arenado's not on this list. Ryan McMahon, who's a starter, is not on this list. Marcelo Meyer, who's going to be a starter, is not on this list because they're all outside the top 30. Probably due to the flexibility of some of these other guys, they get bumped in DCs. So that's something to think about. But it's not a great position. So I would definitely try to get one early just by looking at this board alone before we even talk about it. But it's one that and in DCs, I'd probably try to get two. Like within the first 250, at least get two. Because if you wait too long, your backup situation is pretty rough. So just early thoughts as we talk through this, looking at this board. Because like most positions, you have your elite 4 to 5 category guys, and then it's like, okay, here's 3 category guys. Third base feels like it's more like 2.5 category guys in the second half, not a lot of 3 and 4 category guys. So like you got a little average, maybe some power, maybe some speed, but like all of it together, you're not getting anywhere else. Later in the draft.
Absolutely. I agree with that. It of all the positions, though, this probably has the most like high profile snubs with Arenado and McMahon. Like you said, I don't know, in draft and hold, like playing time is king. That those are at least options if you're totally screwed at third base, or if you're just trying to get an early backup.
Yep, playing time is king indeed. And speaking of playing time is king, the number one third baseman off the board with an ADP of 5. If you look at the ADP tracker, he's primarily going 4, 5, or 6. There's a third in there. There's a couple 8s. For the most part, he's going 4, 5, and 6 in most drafts. That is Jose J-Ram Ramirez, who is just an absolute monster. And I did the playing time precursor because it's been 156 or more games in 4 straight years, 152 in 5 straight years. He's coming off 30-44, 39-41. While hitting 283 and 279, the dude is just amazing. He's going to be 33. He's a big boy, but he keeps getting it done. And until the wheels fall off, to me, you got to believe it. I absolutely love J-Ram. The question I'd have for you, obviously talk about whatever you want with J-Ram, but is there an argument to be had between having J-Ram 3 over Bobby Witt?
Interesting. I had not thought about that, but I could see it. I don't think they're that far off. I have Witt definitely higher in the projections, but the biggest thing, or one of the factors there is like, so yeah, I would take Witt. For me though, like Jose Ramirez is so much better than the rest of the position. That's like just thing. Looking at like the projections I'm using, like J-Ram's like a $35 player. Cameron Arrow and Jazz are like 26, and then there's like one other $20 player, maybe Manny Machado, but that's it for the whole damn position. It's just such a leg up to take J-Ram. So I think if you've got the fourth or fifth pick, Jose Ramirez is completely fine. I have no concerns despite the age. I don't see anything in the actual skills that gives me any concern with J-Ram. So easy pick at number 4 and number 5. And again, it's just the I don't think it might be understated just how much better J-Ram is than the rest of this position. I think J-Ram stands out at his position more than any other player at any other position.
Well, it's like, you know how we talk about, you know, second base, make sure you get your steals or whatever. We talk about those kind of things, like positions. And like last episode, we talked shortstop and how there's like maybe double tapping early or whatever. J-Ram with an elite shortstop feels like a double tap. And now you got the best player at third base and maybe one of the top five at another position. Like there's just levels to.
Oh, so much you can do. I mean, yeah, there's just so much you can do when you take someone projected for a great batting average in a 30-30 season.
Because like you take J-Ram here instead of taking Nuelvi Marte. I don't even know what the ADP of the person I'm thinking of is, but let me check to make sure I get this accurate.
Is this an actual person you're thinking of and you're just not naming him or?
No, his ADP is 100. So I'm trying to think who I could compare him to. So, taking J-Ram at five, and instead of taking, say, Bregman at 123, and then you could take a Randy Rosarena who's going to get 20-20, 30-30. Like, that's what I'm saying. When you can put pieces together, I know Bregman's got a 250, projected 254. Randy's probably projected around 230. But when you're talking power, speed, other factors, like, I'm just trying to build the idea of taking a J-Ram early doesn't force you to take these other guys later at third base, and you can go take other positions that might. Or we love that first base tier from like 150 to 250. Look at the 150 to 250 at third base; it is atrocious compared to first base. And we thought first base was bad.
Agreed.
So like that's where I'm saying, like instead, so take J-Ram early instead of trying to wait for like Pete Alonso or Bryce Harper in round two or Matt Olson, whatever type thing. So just throwing ideas out there. That was all.
I just think if you have a top five pick, don't overthink it. J-Ram after Whit, Ohtani, and Judge. Jesus.
Makes sense. Yeah, don't forget the Judge. He would, you know, use the gavel. All right. The man that I had a man crush on last year and that has not changed this year is Junior Caminero. His ADP is 15. I have no shares because I have not had a pick that far back in the round yet. Last year, Caminero, all he did in his age 21 season, hit 45 home runs, hit 264, 93 runs, scored in 110 RBIs. He struck out 19% of the time at 21 years old. Just want to throw that out there. That's a stat I don't think it's talked about enough of what he did. I love Caminero. I know everyone's going to say the trop. I get it. I also watched him put one in a cold evening in San Francisco halfway up the bleachers and left. Certain stadiums don't stop hitters is all I'm going to say. So I love Caminero. What do you have to say?
And to put the, it's funny, the yin and yang of our analysis. So you I don't want to say I don't watch the games, but you were actually at a game and you saw the raw power. I'm going to look in the baseball forecaster. Junior Caminero for his 45 home runs, 37 expected home runs. And that's park neutral. Exactly. That's not a slight on Junior Caminero. That is, this dude has legitimate 40 home run power no matter which park he plays in. Now, will he get 45 again? Honestly, I mean, probably not, but are we going to say this now 23-year-old can't do anything? Like, it's kind of historic. Like, this is kind of I almost think Caminero is not getting enough credit for what he did at such a young age.
Thank you.
45 damn home runs.
Remember the crap I took when I took him so early in that meatball draft? I was on every podcast, the worst pick in round one. Junior Caminero. What's his ADP? Round one.
This has been pent up frustration for months, folks. This is Bubba just letting it all out. And you know, 3 months after the 5 months after the meatball draft. So you feel good? Get that out there.
Oh, there's always more where that came from.
Always. I do think so for what Caminero may not be able to repeat in home runs. I think this dude can hit 280, 290. The projection for Caminero is like 273. He only hit 264 last year. That was with a really bad BABIP. And Caminero kind of he's not a fly ball heavy guy. Like this is a profile who doesn't strike out much. He makes a ton of hard contact. This is not a profile that should have a bad batting average. This is a profile that could be, like I said, 280, 290 with upper 30s home runs. Yeah, you're probably not going to get the steals, though. Who knows? 7 steals in an age 22 season for Caminero could be double digit. I'm on board with Caminero at the ADP. It may sound a little weird that I'm in on the youths on this one, but this could just be like a talent that is is pretty, I hate the word generational, but because we throw it out every year, but pretty special.
The defense rests, Your Honor. Well said. I have nothing else to say. I didn't have to defend him. You had it taken care of, so I'm happy.
It was still my least favorite first-round pick in the meatball draft, though.
That's fair.
I'm kidding.
No, yeah, you're not. But I love Kevin Arrow, and I hope more people start to realize how good this kid is because, goddamn, he's special. Jazz Chisholm's the third baseman. We talked about him at the second base show. I have not a whole lot more to add unless you want to add on to a 30-30 profile.
No, yeah, we dove into Chaz on the second base show, like you said. I mean, I'll just paint this in the context of third base, where this is a nice spot to be able to get a pretty unique profile if you want to start him at second or third. Usually I'm probably starting Chaz at second, but
that was my question. Yeah.
It kind of depends. It depends which late second baseman I can get in drafts, because that may move around a little bit, but usually I'm probably starting Chaz at second.
Yeah, that was gonna be my question, because I guess what taking Jazz early gives you the flexibility in draft to decide where you want to go,
which is nice. I will say, and I took Jazz, I have Jazz in the current draft and hold that I'm in. It's very nice to be able to look at both pools at second base and third base and kind of pick from both of those spots. So that is a benefit of Jazz. It's just, again, we dove into him already, but just stay healthy, man. That's all you need to do. At least 550 plate appearances. It's all we want.
It's all we want. I'm not asking for much here.
No.
Let's move to the fourth third baseman off the board with an ADP of 40, one of Ryan's favorite olds season. Every season. It seems like a higher ADP than usual, though. Manny Machado, who, if you just want a model of consistency, go pick up his player page. It's usually 150 or more games. It's usually close to 30 home runs. Hits for like 275 to 300. He does it every single season. He actually stole bases the last 2 years. It is strikeouts, walks. It is almost the same profile every single season. So it's yours, man. What else do you have to say about the guy that you love so much?
So I make little notes next to these players as part of my prep for this. For Machado, it's two words: ultimate old. That's it. This is the profile I want on pretty much all of my teams. Someone who's done it numerous times. The skills are still there. And yes, Machado's getting up there. It is an age, I believe 34. Yeah, age 34 season for Manny Machado. But everything under the hood, as they say, supports what we've seen from Machado on the surface the last few years. He just plays a ton. I think has probably, outside of J-Ram, the highest playing time potential of anyone at third base, which matters a ton. It's actually interesting. Like, the projections I'm using, Machado is the 32nd hitter by ADP. He's the 27th. So a little bit of not a value, but I just think, like, with modest five category production, like, it's worth paying for what you're going to get with Machado and what you know you can bank with Manny Machado.
Well, and you're using projections to do the rankings, and he's projected to hit 263. Like I said earlier, he's hit 275 or better in like five plus straight seasons. Like,
yeah.
And we know how those, yep, those kind of like rankings work. They favor batting average usually pretty heavily. So if you change that to a 275, 280 bat, which he's been 275 to 298, probably moves up closer to that 27th hitter off the board.
If I change it to 275, I'm doing it right now in my sheet, and the runs in RBI accordingly, he becomes a, 25th hitter, and then 27th by ADP. So he becomes technically a value, I guess.
See, I pay attention when you do things, Ryan. I have an idea how this works now. I don't know how to build it, don't know how to change the numbers, but I have an idea how it works. So with that said, that's four third basemen, the first four in the first three rounds in a 15-team league, ADP 40. We drop down 40 picks now to the next one. So there's jumps at this position that you're going to find. And an ADP of 81, people are buying on the Austin Riley bounce back. Played 102 games last year. If you're playing 110 the year before, 16 homers at 260 last year. Just can't stay healthy the last two seasons. And they're fluky injuries. I'll go with that for the most part. But what's your thoughts on Austin Riley? I have zero shares. I understand going for the bounce back upside pick, because if he's anything like he used to be, this is a bargain, as all bargains come. I just haven't been there, for mainly because the guy after him is who I like a lot more.
I mean, this is from a skills perspective, this is the same Austin Riley, the peak Austin Riley that we saw in 2022 and 2023, when not only hit 38 home runs, but played every single day, ton of counting stats and really good batting averages. So if you're taking the glass half full approach with Austin Riley, if you're able to get that player at an ADP of 81, that is an excellent move. You nailed it. It's all about the health. I wouldn't quite say it's all been fluky injuries with Austin Riley. I mean, it was an abdominal strain in July, and then season ended with core surgery. If he got hit in the hand in August ended the season.
Was the year before the hand injury then?
The year before was the hand.
That's what it was.
Okay. I believe.
My bad.
In 25, it was core surgery. So like that, you know, maybe Austin Riley's fine. I have no idea, but I just, that type of like kind of muscle, kind of soft tissue core type thing, to me, I weigh that a little bit more when I'm evaluating injury risk, as opposed to someone who gets hit by a pitch in the hand and, you know, nothing you can do with that. So I do think the risk is properly kind of priced into Austin Riley at an ADP of 81. If you get the last two seasons of Austin Riley where he's failed to go 500 plate appearances, this pick is a trap. If you get a full season out of Austin Riley, and again, I think it's all just playing time. Skills-wise, this is the same dude. Barrel rates, strikeout rates, batted ball profile is all pretty much the same as Riley's peak. This is just all a gamble on playing time. I typically don't like to make gambles on playing time in the top 100, just the way that I draft. So I have not taken Austin Riley. Plus, yeah, this next dude, he's pretty sick at pretty much the same ADP.
That same dude, two picks later, Mikel Garcia. I could wax poetically here about him because I did it with Kevin Hastings on the Royals preview. Last year, he played 160 games, so back-to-back 157 or more. Had 16 homers, 23 steals, 23 or more steals in three straight seasons. Hit 286. We sit for good average three out of four seasons. Like, we're seeing a profile. He struck out 12.6% of the time. Most important thing I saw, Ryan, and then I'll give the floor to you, the quality of contact. Much better. He upped the barrel rate up to 5.6%, hard hit 45, not jumping off the page improvements. But that correlated with a 6% drop in ground ball rate, a 7% fly ball increase. And if we're talking about fences being moved in, Ryan, and he's hitting the ball in the air that much more,
this is
that goes back to the early statement you made about it. This is a 2020 guy, 2030 guy that could score a ton of runs if he hits the top of that order.
Yeah, I do think for Mikel Garcia the fences, this is the type of guy with, like, even though the power upticked a bit last year, still below average raw power, but this is the type of profile where moving in fences can help. And you just go to StatCast, or even just Google Mikel Garcia spray chart 2025, you'll see the hits at Kauffman last year. There were at least five, potentially 10 home runs that if you move those fences in 10 feet would be gone. And 10 home runs for Mikel Garcia, yeah, you're looking at potentially 2030. I don't think Mikel Garcia hits 287 again like he did last year. Projections at 271. I think that's fair. I just think this is by, you know, by projections, this is the best buy for me in the entire top 10 at third base, maybe even at the entire position. That gets a little fuzzy later on as values kind of go crazy, but at least in the top 10, this is my favorite buy, and not even just projections, just for all the reasons you just said. Playing time's kind of no longer an issue either. Mikel Garcia was, you know, playing time was a little bit of an issue in previous seasons. Batted 100% of the time against righties last year, 96% of the time against lefties. I just think everything's there for Mikel Garcia. Missed opportunity last year, man. We did not name him our mascot, and now he's no longer multi-position eligible.
Maybe we have to change our stance. Maybe it's the most rostered players by the two of us should be our mascot. That makes more sense, actually, along the way. But he's on half my roster. I just looked up. He's on half my teams right now. So.
Jeez, is he really?
Yep, love him. I wasn't kidding. I was big on Mikel Garcia right now.
For a top 100 pick, that's impressive.
Because looking down the board here, it gets really murky at the position. So it's like, jump on and enjoy is the way. What about it?
Many, many flaws coming up. Yes.
Yes. The seventh third baseman off the board, the new Chicago Cub, Alex Bregman, has an ADP of 123. Bregs was swinging it well last year for the Red Sox before injuries kind of finished off that season, playing 114 total games. We kind of know who he is, it feels like, in the power, gonna hit for an okay average. It's just he's a boring as beautiful guy, technically. So like if you're stuck with Bregman, it's not the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
But it's more of a four category subset.
Yep. Agreed. I think Bregman's properly valued at the price. You kind of know what you're getting. Although I will, if you're dreaming on Alex Bregman, and Cubs fans probably are, you can peek at that first half from Bregman last year before that quad strain kind of derailed everything in the second half. I mean, Bregman hit .299 with 11 homers in the first half last year, like with a major jump in barrel rate, more fly balls. Like this was a pretty intentional change in approach for Alex Bregman, and it absolutely worked for him. So I can make the case that the floor is quite solid and the baseline is a good buy. And I think there's actually a ceiling here with Bregman where he could definitely be a top 100 player that you're getting at 123.
My only concern, I guess, if there's any concern at all, massive pull hitter. And we know how left field and Wrigley treats guys.
Yeah, Wrigley's been rough. Yeah, and the wind.
That would be the only... Yeah. If I have to throw some cold water on it.
Agreed. Agreed. We like pull hitters, but yeah.
Yes. Yes, we do. All right. This is a guy you're familiar with, Eugenio Suarez, ADP of 125. What happened to the days where he's in like past 200? Those are nice. Eugenio still looking for a job for starters, or a team, I guess, for starters. 49 home runs last year, hit .228. So he's back to no average and still all the power in the world. So back-to-back really, really good seasons, all things considered, with Eugenio Suarez. I have no shares right now.
I don't either. And I don't – this is more of just a gut feel for me. I'm interested to get your thoughts on Suarez because the projections actually like Suarez at the price slightly. So there's that. I just think you're buying him for the power, but you're buying someone who hit 49 home runs last year when the previous four seasons it was 31, 31, 22, 30. So it's kind of that classic case of like, yeah, a lot of what Suarez did last year supported maybe 40 home runs, not 49. But there's a real chance Suarez, as an age 35 player, goes right back to being a 30 home run hitter. And the batting average at like .240-ish, it doesn't really appeal to me with no stolen bases either. So at the price at 125, I have not clicked Eugenio Suarez yet. And I don't feel like I'm missing out either.
Yeah, there's a lot of, to me, it's also like a lot of where does he land affects me a lot there, because there's really, really good spots. There's really like, okay, this is not going to work spots. That's another thing I'm curious about. Like, I think, did I hear the Yankees were discussing him recently? I think it's a rumor I heard. So who knows? That's going to be a big factor as well when it comes to Eugenio Suarez.
One thing with Suarez, just real quick, just looking at the projections on the board here for the YouTube crowd, pretty much the same projection as Murakami going .221. And I know projection, like who the hell knows what Murakami is going to do, but basically the same batting average, basically the same home run total. Like if you're low on power, I just wouldn't try and make up for it this early. I'd take a shot at Murakami later, or a Vientos or something later on.
Yeah, Vientos is a popular target we will discuss a little later. All right, going eight picks after Suarez, an ADP of 133, is Jordan Westberg of the Baltimore Orioles, a guy I know you've liked in recent seasons. He's just had the injury bug bite him back-to-back years, but in 85 games, 17 homers, hit .265 last year. He's put up good numbers both times through with the O's. It's his job at third base. Just got to stay healthy. So this is why I said, like, once we start getting down to this realm and maybe the next 10 picks, 15 picks, depending on how you want to look at it, there's a lot of what-ifs at this position, and the projections kind of give you the what if with Westberg. If he plays a full season, that's a really good projection. If he plays the full season, so where are you at on Jordan Westberg?
And it's actually interesting to compare that projection with Bregman. Like it's just slightly better in every single spot, going pretty much at the same price. The problem is, for me is just we need to see a full season from Jordan Westberg. Like at this point, I don't know if it's fluky, just repeated stuff. Last year it was ankle, finger, and hamstring. The year before was 447 plate appearances. I think the playing time is going to be there for Jordan Westberg. It's just we need to see this guy not only make it through a full season, but can he make it through a full season and not kind of wear down the second half that we see a lot of times from these guys that make it through. So I mean, from an actual like skills perspective, it's pretty sweet, like a pretty passable batting average profile plus power. I like the lineup, so I like all that. The price is okay. It's just I'd rather Bregman. I'd rather the safety of Bregman where I need it.
Yeah, Bregman is a safety. I think, yeah, definitely the upside play would be Westberg. So it's tricky. That's just what I'm saying. Like, what do you want to project on health or do you not? And I know you don't project on health. I usually don't, so I have no Westberg either. But this is also why I keep taking Mikel Garcia earlier in the draft. This next guy I'm very intrigued by, and you're either in or you're out on Noelvi Marte. Like, just from what I've seen all over Twitter and other podcasts and everything, Noelvi Marte has an ADP of 140. He's the 10th third baseman off the board. He's projected to play right field. He's been playing the outfield towards the end of last season. From the Reds stuff I've looked at and read, the Reds want him to be the starting right fielder. That's their plan, even though they keep bringing outfielders in. Stuff can change. Obviously, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that's part of why I think his ADP is where it's at. Marte finished 263, 14, 10. Not too long ago, was a highly touted prospect that just couldn't stay healthy and then had a PED suspension. So I'm willing to buy back in on the talent at this ADP of 140. I think the projections could be low on this guy, because that projects, he was 14-10 last year in about a little over half a season. He's projected to go 249, 19, and 16. So I like Marte if you want to take a chance on upside. I get it if you don't. Where are you at on Noelvi Marte?
This is where I need. He's young for me, man. I don't associate myself with young hooligans. I don't know, man. This is where I need to readjust my approach to drafting, because I agree with everything you just said, and I think at ADP 140, that's the time in the draft where you should be starting to take some shots. And I do think the ceiling for Noelvi Marte is pretty sweet. This is again probably a shortcoming of mine, but I see Matt Chapman going 30 picks later and at the same position. I'm clicking Matt Chapman every single time with the safety. So I don't know. I like the projections hate Noelvi Marte, similar to Westberg. I would like to see a full season out of Noelvi Marte. I don't know if he can get there until we see it, but this is something where I need to open up a little bit and embrace that ceiling, especially once you start getting to pick 130, 150.
Like, I know for me, and this could, I don't think you would beer bet this, maybe you would, I would take Marte over Westberg. I know that much. Like, I would take that chance. I think there's more bags in there for sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to beer bet.
That's why I said I don't think you would, but I would take that one for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a decent beer bet with Noelvi, but like,
there really is. It's like Royce Lewis. It's just both relying on playing time and health.
I'm not wagering any alcohol.
That's really my point, though. That's
like, Royce Lewis.
Really, there's really not a good one's my point. That's where I'm at with that one.
Yeah,
that's why I prefaced it. I'm like, you're either in or you're out on Marte. That's pretty much where everyone's at. You're like, okay, I'm taking a chance or I'm not.
But the problem is too, though, at third base, especially in this, my 15 team brain. I mean, Noelvi Marte is your starting third baseman. If it doesn't work, half of this position, like, it's, I don't know how many backup options you have.
Yep, third base outfit eligible, but yeah, in a 15 teamer, you're hamstringing yourself. There's no doubt about that. That's going to be an issue. All right, that's your top 10 at the position. Let's go 11 through 20. Matt Chapman at ADP 171. Matt Shaw, Royce Lewis, Addison Barger, Isak Paredes, Minutaka Murakami, Jose Caballero, Caleb Durbin, Brett Beatty, Max Muncy at ADP 266. So about 100 picks for 90 picks for these 10 players. Ryan, we'll start with you. Who is one of your, I guess, targets in this range? Target's a loose term when it comes to this position, but who's a guy of interest for you in this range?
For me, I'm going to go – who the hell did I pick?
On the sheet.
Caleb Durbin? Yeah, I picked Caleb Durbin.
You had the first pick. That was on there before you when you sent me the sheet, so don't be surprised.
I did that first pick. Why the hell didn't I pick Matt Chapman?
I was shocked, too. That's why I took him, because you didn't. I'm like, okay, sure.
Telling you, man, it's been a busy week, but not that busy.
It's Tuesday.
Huh. So Matt Chapman would be my guy, but you took him, so I will
I took him after Ryan took care of the turbo.
The reverse.
Let's preface this.
The reverse piggyback is now the reverse snipe in terms of picking
our reverse Chapman.
Yeah. Caleb Durbin, I think at a price of 234, projected 251, 22 steals, 11 homers. Like that's from an actual projection standpoint, that's pretty good. I think especially at that price, I think there's not too many good options, especially with speed at this position and at first base, just corner in general. It's hard to find decent speed that gets you production in other categories. So Caleb Durbin does that. And who knows, man? Like maybe there's some upside on the 11 home runs and 506 plate appearances last year. I'm not banking on it. But even if there's not, like a low teens home run total with those stolen bases, and I think a pretty solid batting average outlook given the elite strikeout rate for Caleb Durbin at an age 26 season, where you never know if he could take that next step and in his prime with a ton of major league experience now. I just that whole package at ADP 234 is why I took Caleb Durbin over Matt Chapman.
No, I like it. I like Caleb Durbin quite a bit. I think there is definitely the projection of a 251 average. I think he's a much better batting average asset than 251. We've seen stints where he's really good. Power is going to be the question, but steals, like, this is basically a third base rabbit is the way I look at it. And that's not going to kill you. Like, Caballero kills you everywhere else.
Yeah, Caballero is a rabbit. Caleb Durbin's not. He's more like a...
But he could hit 270 and steal 30 bags.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, a rabbit is something that he just runs. He doesn't do anything else. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. But like, I'd rather take a guy with 30 steal upside like this than go after a Caballero, a Chandler Simpson, dude. Stuff like that.
I mean, it's just interesting. Caballero and Durbin are the exact same ADP. Like we've talked about Caballero. He's a big fade for both of us. But yeah, I like Durbin a lot.
Yeah, I like your Durbin pick almost as much as Matt Chapman, who is going to ADP 171. And this is like, if Ryan can't have Manny Machado, this is the next best boring is beautiful, consistently great thing Ryan loves right here in Matt Chapman. Now he only played 128 games last year, still at 21 home runs, which is pretty dang good. But it's usually a mid to high 20s power bat. Average is always in flux, but it's usually 230, 240, somewhere in that range. Like, you just know what you're getting with Chapman. Last year, like, the question was, he stole 15 bags in 2024. What's he going to do? He stole 9 bags in those 128 games. He was going to get you double-digit steals again, which is a big cherry on top for what Matt Chapman does. He's even projected to get 10 stolen bases this year, which people would have thought was insane a couple of seasons ago. So if he hits his 239, 27 homer, 10 steal projection, which the power speed is actually almost what he does every season, like the last few years, that's who he is. Like, this is a pretty reliable option if you're a drafter of Ryan's ilk, of liking to just put in his, if he doesn't want to take a chance on players, like Chapman makes total sense. And I get it. I like Chapman too. So I think if you wait and you don't want to take the risks that are involved in a lot of these later picks, I think Chapman's a pretty safe, like, you know what you're going to get pick.
And I think there's real risk with the guys going out, like Matt Shaw, obviously, we just talked about at the top. Now, if Shaw gets a regular spot, I like him at the 180 price. But like, we all know the risk with Royce Lewis, Addison Barger, Isak Paredes. Like, Matt Chapman, I think, is leaps and bounds better than those guys. So I just feel like this is he's going ahead of him. But like, I just think the cliff is very steep.
Well, like you were mentioning projections earlier, he's not that far off of Eugenio Suarez, and he gets you more steals. He's going 50 picks later.
There you go. Speaking my language.
Now, Suarez has a higher power ceiling. I'm never going to deny that. But if you're just looking at projections, if you're a projection drafter, which you shouldn't be a straight-up projection drafter, that's an angle you can take. Yeah. All right, what's your next option here? I'm shocked you didn't pick Brett Baty, but I guess probably you picked him at second base.
I picked Brett Baty at second base. Yeah. So, yeah, but no, we should give him a shout. At ADP 249, Brett Baty is probably my pick. I just didn't want to pick the same guy two shows in a row. That's mascot potential, which, early watch list. We'll see. But, no, Brett Baty is not my pick. Max Muncy is my pick. ADP of 266. I think. Anyone who listens to the show has probably heard the contact lens story with Matt. Was it contact lens or glasses? Did he get glasses or he ditched glasses?
glasses. He got glasses.
Got glasses. That's right.
Shortly after I did. It made sense.
Yeah. So Bubba and Max Muncy just hand in hand. Dodger.
A lot of things in common. Yeah, maybe he'll know what a bay is compared to an ocean pretty soon. But yeah.
Maybe he will. Still one of my favorite quotes of all time.
I'll give him credit. That was good. Like, as much as I hate the Dodgers, like, Bumgarner deserved it.
So especially because I was just going to say, like, you can't defend.
He deserved it.
No, it's hard to defend late career Bumgarner, man.
You know me well, especially off air. I am a trash talker. So, like, I was, if you have a sense of humor and enjoyed it, I thought it was pretty good. It was good.
Seminal moment for RotoWear with those shirts, too. Those were elite. So, that notwithstanding, Max Muncy, yeah, you can look at the before or after splits with the glasses, and it's pretty, the vision is clear when you do that, so to speak. So, strikeout rate went way down for Max Muncy. Power rebounded 14% barrel rate, elite contact quality with now a passable contact. Like, Max Muncy hit 243 last year. I think he can do that again. The projection that we're showing here is 221. I don't think projections are factoring in the fact that Max Muncy can see now. Yep. So, like, I think 240 with mid 20s power in a great lineup. Yeah, he doesn't hit lefties and probably won't play much against lefties, but dude, it's a 266 ADP. All these guys are going to have flaws. So, I think you can work with Max Muncy as a kind of a corner infield type streamer in a lot of leagues and do pretty well with it.
He's also old. That's part of the problem.
He's 35. That's a trait. That's not a problem.
That's a trait, not a problem. I think it's also like just to play them 100 games, 73 games, 135. We're like, he hasn't put a big season together in a while. But this isn't me disagreeing with you. It's just why he's getting drafted down here. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, for me, it's Royce Lewis. And yes, I know it's like everyone can roll their eyes and fast forward if they want. I understand every bit of risk with this whatsoever. We did see 106 games last year. We saw 13 homers, 12 steals, hit 237. Struck out less than 20%, which I'll take as a plus. You know, we're still trying to get some full playing time out of Royce Lewis. We saw improvements in the second half. He hit 249 in the second half compared to 216. He had 11 of those 13 home runs in the second half of the season. He stole all 12 bases. He had 11 homers, 12 steals, hit 249 in 63 games in the second half. He only played 42 in the first half. He got healthier. I mentioned it on the Twins show with Brandon Warren. His sprint speed actually increased every month, which was a plus of usually would signify health, one might think. So I'm just kind of speculating. Again, at this point, we're talking ADP 200 right now with Royce Lewis. I'm just pure speculating. Like, if you look at all the different projections, they haven't been anywhere from 237 to 252. Most of them, it's around 20-ish home runs. Most of them have double-digit steals. Like, if you really want to be technical, and I know people hate this, if we want to keep comparing guys to projections, his projection isn't that far off of Jordan Westberg, and they both have tons of injury questions. Like, they do. So, Royce Lewis was a guy everyone used to just drool over the chance to draft, and now he's an afterthought, and he's still only 27 years old. And so it's just kind of my brain, like the way I think with Noel V. Martek, these guys are still elite talents that have not been able to stay healthy. What if we play this what-if game? This is fantasy baseball. Like, at certain points of the draft, you got to find a guy that breaks through. And these are kind of guys I look at to break through. So that's all this is. Again, to your point, like, if you take a Marte and things fail, you're pretty screwed. If you take a Lewis, same thing. Fair. Agree. But also, what if Lewis plays 130 games? Like, that's a pretty dang good season probably. So I'm optimistic when we saw the way the season ended last year.
I think the most important numbers in Royce Lewis's line last year was that second half, 293 plate appearances and 12 steals. Brandon Warren in your Minnesota Twins team preview kind of opened my eye to that. It's Royce Lewis said he felt as good as he kind of ever has. And it's like, normally you just throw that quote away because who the hell cares? But he backed it up with 12 bags in the second half. Like, that actually is proof that he felt very good in the second half and ended the season healthy, and there we go. So I'm actually surprisingly on board with you with Royce Lewis at 200. Who would you say has a higher ceiling, Noel V. Marte at 140 or Royce Lewis at 200?
I'm only gonna say Marte because of ballpark and team context. Okay. but Royce Lewis's job is more secure. Like, he's like, Marte could get into a platoon or something crazy because the Reds have so many options. If Lewis is healthy, they've proven he's pretty much playing every day at third base. So I should probably actually pick Royce Lewis in this one, honestly.
And you're speculating on that 60 picks later at ADP 200, which I'm totally willing to do. It's a good spot in the draft to do that.
And it's like you said, the second half, you stole 12 bags and 293 plate appearances. I know projections use averages. They have projected for 11 steals total next year.
Right.
Like, so what's, again, health is a big factor, but we saw what he can do in half a healthy season. Like that, if you do the lazy math, that's 24-24 while hitting 250. Like, that'll play, folks. That'll play. All right. 21 through 30. Starts at ADP 272, wraps up at 338. Alec Bohm, Mark Vientos, Carlos Correa, Kazuma Okamoto, Miguel Vargas, the Captain America, Team USA, Utility Man, Ernie Clement, Colt Keith, Josh Young, Brooks Lee, Zach McKinstry. All righty. Who are you looking at here as your first option? Because I have a lot of this guy.
I'm going to go Mark Vientos. I'm going to follow the lead of the great Britton Allen, who's hanging in the chat today. Mark Vientos is the best value at third base if you wait on third base. And I agree with that. I think this is Eugenio Suarez at a price of 274. So, yes, the playing time needs to be there. Vientos, the playing time leash is probably pretty thin. With some other names in the Mets infield there, but I just think this is the perfect time to buy on someone who has proven he can do it before, should play, and is young enough to even not only just recover what he did 2 years ago, but even take a step forward from that at ADP 274. To me, like, this is, I don't know, kind of a no-brainer for how cheap Mark Vientos is going.
Yep, late power source, which the power is real. It's just, does he get the playing time, which he should, but even as
should, that's buddy, the only risk, right?
As Jakeen even says, I don't know how much he plays. If Polanco's at first base and they prioritize defense, as Stearns has said, that's the risk. He should play every day. It's stupid if he doesn't play him at DH. You have to play defense.
Prioritizing defense if you're putting Jorge Polanco at first.
Yeah, I've watched those drills. But I have Vientos on three of my eight teams so far. So I'm with you. Yeah. I love that later power option. I think there's a, like, he is Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing? Like, that's 150 picks later. I'd be willing to say they are the same player when things are all said and done.
I mean, Suarez is obviously a safer investment.
Yes, but skill set. And but, if they both played a full season, I'd like to see Mark Vientos' stat line with 150 pick difference.
Sure. Yeah, agreed. Same.
All right. This one is kind of, this is a big leap of faith. And again, if you're in a DC's, your third or second or third baseman, most likely, if he's your starting third baseman, you screwed up the draft already. But I'm going to go Josh Young of the Texas Rangers, ADP of 321. This is a guy that last year, 14 homers, hit 251 over 131 games. He's missed a lot of time the last few years because, like, hit by pitches and other kind of injuries of that ilk. He also has had some hammies and stuff, but he's had a lot of fluky injuries as well when it comes to Josh Young. Skill set's always been pretty good. The quality of contact did take a little bit of a dip last year with the wrist injury, but has still showcased an 8% plus barrel rate. The hard hit rate's been there. He's got tons of power. There's zero denying that. Even when he had the bad wrist, he still had an 11% home run fly ball, which is the worst of his career, but still showcased he can do it. Projections actually like him. 247, 18-4 is actually not bad for this point of the draft if you're looking for a third baseman. I just like the skill set of Josh Young. He'll be 28. I think there's a much better player we just haven't seen play full-time yet. And again, he's kind of a boring, but I think if he's healthy, he's the everyday third baseman for the Rangers because they have no one else to go with. So, like, I would take that because you look at all these other options down here, there's a million questions. Josh Young, I feel like he's one of the better hitters, just health has never been on his side.
Yeah, 2 years removed from 23 homers, 266 batting average, and just over 500 plate appearances for Young. So, I could see it. I could see it. Price is really cheap. So there's actually, I mean, yeah, this is, there's some names. You can squint and see some names here.
Yeah, there are names. There's technically 30 of them. Who's your next option?
Oh, but there's more because my guy's not even on this damn board. So this is admittedly a draft and hold type move as opposed to a fab league, but I'm going to go Jared Triolo. Eligible at third base, first base, and shortstop, which is super valuable in those draft and hold leagues. I think the playing time, again, motto of the show, playing time on bad teams. I think the playing time for Jared Triolo is going to be there. And saw like pretty decent improvements from Triolo in his age 27 season last year. Fewer Ks, modest uptick in power, but the running game really really kind of took off. So 13 steals and 376 plate appearances last year with Pittsburgh. So I just like kind of the overall package, the utility that Jared Triolo brings, again, especially in draft and holds or deeper fab leagues. And yeah, the multi-position is just huge.
Yeah, no, I like him a lot. So no questions there. Definitely a DC play, but in 15-team leagues, he'll be a common waiver wire target. And maybe he even sticks if he gets consistent runs.
So yeah, yep.
Don't hate the Triolo love at all. For me, it's a boring pick, but Alec Bohm, ADP 272. It's primarily just like in a 15-team of 12, I have really no interest in Bohm in a draft. I picked him up in Fab last year because he was in Fab and I needed a third baseman, but In your redrafts, he's a 15-team only play for me. And a lot of it's just because we talk so much about batting average, Ryan. Like, he is a darn good batting average asset. It's basically been 274 at worst over the last 4 years, usually over 280. If he plays his 140-plus games, it's 15 or more homers. He's driven in 97 runs in two of the last three seasons. Like, his contact skills are elite. There's not much else to love, but if you're getting, you know, 15 homers, good average, really good RBIs and like maybe 70 runs, he's getting you 4 out of 5 categories. You can't name a lot of 4 out of 5 category guys back here. You just can't. So that's where I enjoy Alec Bohm. Now there's rumors like Philly wants to trade him and all that kind of fun stuff. Who knows where that goes? But as long as he's on the Phillies, as long as he's hitting probably, you know, 6th in that lineup or something, there's a lot of fantasy appeal to Alec Bohm at ADP 272.
Agreed. I think the market's dinging Alec Bohm for only getting 500 plate appearances last year when he like fractured his rib. But pretty much consistently before that, a 600-plus plate appearance guy. And yeah, not the highest ceiling, but boring is beautiful, like you coined.
Yep. All right. Let's do listener questions before we get into our wrapping up as the position as usual, because we'll cover a lot of the other parts here in this one. A couple from the YouTube here. B. Harris says, Okamoto, is he worth drafting? That's Kazuma Okamoto, ADP 276, joined the Toronto Blue Jays via free agency. Rumor has it super utility player coming his direction. Where are you at on him, Ryan? Because I'm half in, half out on Okamoto at this point in time.
Yeah, it's for me, it's tough. Just I typically don't draft players where I just don't know what I'm getting. And then on top of that, with Okamoto, with the Big Oak, we should properly,
yes, the Big Oak, my bad, yes,
probably call him that.
Big Wood.
It's just God, you said that happily. Lost my train of thought, so mission accomplished. I'd rather Alec Bohm or Mark Vientos at the same price than the Big Oak. So there we go.
Yeah, no, I like Okamoto just because he does have like really, really good contact skills. Honestly, if you're a stat darling, he's looked better than Murakami. Murakami's just got that massive ceiling, especially in the power department. But Okamoto's, he's shown power. He's shown a really good batting average overseas. Just how does that translate and how does the playing time translate? Like, I'd probably rather take a chance on Okamoto over Murakami, personally, if I'm drafting one of the two. I know that wasn't the question, but at least Murakami should be locked into at-bats. Okamoto, we're not quite sure at this point in time. Woody in the chat here says, are you guys drafting any of the following? Sal Stewart, Jordan Lawler, or Marcelo Meyer, JJ Weatherholt? I'm in love with Sal Stewart, and I haven't drafted the others yet, but I'd probably put Weatherholt near the top of that list. So what about you?
I'd probably rank them Stewart, Weatherholt, Meyer, Lawler. I'd love to see Lawler get some run, but it just, again, with Arenado there now, like, I don't know, man. It just does not seem like Arizona's all that interested in getting Jordan Lawler a shot. So, I love Sal Stewart. What do you think of the playing time with Sal Stewart?
I think so. I talked about it with James Anderson on the RotoWire pod when we looked at roster resource as Sal Stewart on the bench. And it goes back to my Noel V. Marte thing as well. There's a lot of mouths to feed as they keep bringing people in, which is crazy in Cincinnati. But if you just break down, if you want to put your best lineup out there, Sal Stewart's literally one of the best hitters you have, period, on that roster. let alone at any of the corner infields or DH. Like, he should be playing every day. Terry Francona has flat out said he loves the tools of, and he hasn't seen a young player hit the way he does in a long time. So I feel like they're going to find a way to, unless he just stumbles minorly in spring training, like, he should be playing. Real quick, we said it at the top of the show, but Brian Zolo wants to know, what about Nolan Arenado going to Arizona?
Yeah, it doesn't move the needle for me. And Arenado is not even on this top 30, so I don't see this as a big boost.
And the not so silent majority says, any chance JJ Weatherholt makes the cards and plays third base? That's what we're thinking.
That's what we're thinking. Obviously, don't know that. I think a lot will depend on how Weatherholt fares in spring training, because the Cardinals do have other bodies, other options. Nolan Gorman being one of them, where they could play games with Weatherholt and he's not up right away, but. I don't know, man. A lot of things that I hear and listen to prospect folks talk about it. They seem somewhat confident that Weatherholt's going to have a decent shot at starting at third base with the Cardinals. So we'll see.
All right. Now to the Discord, where I try not to look at these questions beforehand. And this is funny. Sean Chart is the first one. Okamoto should be ranked drafted above Murakami. Agree or disagree? I agree. And then the chat, 3-1, agreed over disagreed. What do you think?
The cop-out answer could be depends on team build. Murakami is going to be brutal for your batting average. It seems like, now we don't know, but it definitely seems like, despite having 80 grade power, I'd probably still go Murakami just because I know he's going to play and you just need to play. Oak, the big Oak. I don't know.
As Keegan says, I was just going to ask, Okamoto seems like he should be higher. Is his current ADP just because we are unsure of playing time? I think 1,000%, yes.
What was the question? What?
Keegan said he was just going to ask, Okamoto seems like he should be going higher. Is his current ADP because we are unsure of playing time? I'd say pretty much.
Yes, correct. Because if the playing time is there for the big Oak, you've got the lineup argument to then make. You've got the better hit tool, not the power, but you've got a better hit tool and a better lineup. Like, that's very enticing.
Brings the wood to your fantasy lineup. Grizzmania99 says, as a super utility player, does Bat Shaw have any fantasy relevance? No.
I mean, any? Yes, but well, not anywhere near the price.
In a, like, 20 team, it'll only leave, yes.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of led off with some Matt Shaw stuff. I still think he will have regular playing time on some team somewhere. Could likely be on the Cubs if they move Nico Hoerner, but as of now, no, Matt Shaw. And you can see in the projection, 6 homers, 8 steals. Yeah, these are fresh out the oven. It's not good.
Not good at all. Canton Dog says, Brett Beatty, with the opportunity for more playing time this season, could you see Brett ending up as a top 10 third baseman by the end of the season?
I could see it. Probably a 90th percentile type outcome there, because, again, I like the top 10, 11 at third base. It's actually like a somewhat decent bar to clear to get there. Now, a lot of these guys will get hurt, whatever, who knows. But yeah, Beatty has the ceiling to do it. I think 15-ish is a little bit more realistic.
Yeah, he's 19 right now. So
yeah,
top 15, I'm with you for sure. He basically has to ball out. Guys have to fall apart, like you said. Mailman Mike, how far down the list are you comfortable getting your third baseman? And again, your corner infielder.
How far down the list am I comfortable getting my third baseman would be Matt Chapman, number 11 off the board at pick 171. In terms of comfortable for corner infielder, I mean, given the names we just talked about, Beatty, Max Muncy, Caleb Durbin, Mark Vientos, all going picks 230 to 270 range, that's probably where I would draw the line for corner infield.
Yeah, for me, I'd prefer to stop at Chapman. I could see myself going Royce Lewis in that conversation.
Yeah, could see it.
I could see, like, if depending how a draft goes, I wouldn't panic, but I'd make a point to get him if all of a sudden I'm like, oh, crap, like, here we are. And then I agree with you on the corner infield part. Like, I prefer, and this is a follow-up question. Do you prefer a corner from first base or third base? I think first base for me.
I think so. Yeah, I'd agree with that. There's just more options.
Especially later in the draft. Derek says, thoughts on Marcelo Meyer with Bregman signing in the Arenado trade. How do those moves impact Meyer's ranking, projections, and ADP, if at all?
Honestly, I have not really given Marcelo Meyer much thought in draft season. I haven't taken him. I just the debut was so rough that kind of hasn't even been a target for me, and that's a trap. This could be, you know, we talk about all the time with these hype prospects, doesn't go well the first time, it may not go well the second time, third time, but at some point it could definitely work out for him. I'll say Marcelo Meyer is just 23 years old. Have you taken him at all in your drafts?
Yeah, let me check. I know
you've done about four times as many as I have, so
he's in two of my eight drafts.
Okay. That's something. Yeah, I haven't thought about him.
It's mainly because where he's going in drafts, like if we look at the ADP tracker right now, Marcelo Meyer was going ADP 373 over the last 14 days, 360 over the last seven. He's going, like, he's not on this board, obviously. He's not a top 30 guy, but I always thought he was the starting guy until otherwise said. Now, Bregman could have came, Arenado trade. Right now, he's a starting third baseman. So we mentioned it earlier with your McMahons, your Arenados. Like,
yeah,
these guys are going so late. He's my second or third baseman, and he's going to play every day. So in a DC, I love taking the chance. Now, like, I've heard some prospect guys that aren't overly optimistic on him. Look at projections. They have him hitting like 250-ish, 10 to 15 homers, 10-ish steals. Like, that plays at his ADP for me. So I can live with that. I just don't think he's going to be a world beater like many were hoping in Fab last year. Could be wrong.
No, you've opened my I learned just as much from doing this show as I do prepping for it. So someone who I've overlooked. I can see the case for Marcelo Meyer.
We should have done this after tomorrow night's draft. Sean Chart says, if Royce Lewis gets 450 at bats this year, could he be a top 100 overall player? Yes.
My man might need a little more than 450. To put numbers to it, right now I've got Royce Lewis at 476 plate appearances. That makes him a 148 hitter. If I take that to 600 plate appearances, he's a top 70 hitter. So
he needs basically a full season.
He needs a full season. The projections have Royce Lewis at a 243 batting average, which
I think is low.
I think I would take the over on that as well. So I could play with this a bunch, but I think you need more than 450 from Royce. I think you need 550, 600 to really make
it. What if he has 265, let's just say 2020?
Let me type this all in right now.
Oh, I thought you had it up.
I got it up. How many plate appearances?
I'm just looking at batting average. 265 average, 20 homers, 20 steals. Say 550.
Dang. Pumping him up. He would be hitter 35.
See? I think there's a chance. I really do believe in Royce Lewis if he can stay healthy. So we'll see, Sean.
I got to make sure I back out all these Royce Lewis changes before our damn auction on Wednesday night.
$20. I'm going to nominate Royce Lewis for $11. Ryan goes, yeah. 26.
Jesus. Control Z. Right. Undo.
It almost worked. Steve Stoughton says, name two third basemen you are drafting at ADP and two you're fading at ADP. So, well, I already said I have Mikel Garcia and Mark Vientos in like nearly half of my leagues.
Yeah, I'll kind of summarize, but Mikel Garcia, Matt Chapman, Caleb Durbin, Brett Beatty, Mark Vientos.
And I guess at two I'm fading at their ADP. Eugenio Suarez. It's Matt Shaw, Addison Barger. Jose Caballero. I'll actually, Muminotaka Murakami. I'm out.
I'll fade Suarez and Noel V. Marte.
Ooh, you're fading Marte even after I open your eyes to him? You're fading him.
Yeah, my eyes closed again. It's getting late.
It's getting late, old man. Martin Sikulski says, as a follow-up to Sean's question, when Royce Lewis plays 50 games, will we all finally give up? Also, how close are we to giving up on Lawler, not on this list? I will never give up on Royce Lewis because that just means his ADP is going to be even lower. Just think Byron Buxton. It's going to keep dropping until he explodes one year. So I'm just going to keep taking my shots. But Jordan Lawler, the Diamondbacks don't care about him, it feels like.
It's what it seems like. And if the team doesn't believe in the player, why are we supposed to believe in the player?
Yep, that's like the skills might be great. This might be like a Miguel Vargas thing. Like he just needs a new place. Get him out of there. See what happens. Nails says, now that they have signed Bregman, What do you think the Cubs' plans will be with Matt Shaw? Try and squeeze him in as a super util? Do they move Horner in order to make room for Shaw in his current situation? Where would you rank him? Well, we think Shaw at best is utility for now, but where would you rank him?
If he's utility, he's, I mean, nothing. If Matt Shaw is, I mean, I don't know. Where the hell did I put him in the draft kit?
Well, I have change mine because I haven't edited it since the Bregman move.
That's, yeah, no, I haven't. I haven't moved him down.
That's on yet. My agenda this week is to update the rankings.
I had Matt Shaw at 12 at third base. So
yeah, no, I'm not a big Matt Shaw fan. Matt says, does Vientos get platooned 10 and or does he get platooned? Let's start there. He's got three questions here.
I don't think so. No, I would hedge that Vientos plays regularly.
10 homers and 10 plus steals for Durbin? I think we both think yes.
10 plus homers and 20 plus steals. Yeah.
There you go. Top or bottom of the lineup for Durbin?
I would lean bottom. Milwaukee lineup is pretty sweet up top. So it would have to take an injury.
Yep, agreed. And then Elrod says, no hope for Nolan Arenado squeezing out one final hurrah year with his new ball club? No.
No.
All right. How do you want to summarize the position? Because that is all of our questions.
Actually, a few more targets in the near end game than I thought heading into the show. So I still believe there's a pretty decent top 11. Maybe if I throw out Noelvi Marte and throw in Royce Lewis, would like to try and get my third baseman in before Matt Chapman or by Matt Chapman at 170. If I can't, I'm probably waiting until the 200 plus and grabbing one of Durbin, Beatty, Muncy, or Vientos and just hoping for the best there.
Yep, I agree. It's still very top heavy. I still want to leave with one of the top ones, preferably Mikel Garcia. This is how I don't get any of him as the draft season goes on because I talk about it too much on these shows. Yep. But I love him. There's some specs I like I mentioned with the Martes, the Lewises of the world. Like I'm very, very interested in taking chance, like especially in like say an OC or a 12-team league. Like I really like the upside of one of those plays to take a shot on because the replacement value still stinks at third base, but there will be options at the position. And then I love Vientos as the draft goes on. I think that's just a massive ceiling type play. Like going again, a great 12-team play. I think to go for the gusto with the Vientos and see what happens. All right, we'll wrap it up there, my friend. We'll be back tomorrow for Patreon members as we stream our draft, and then we'll be back Thursday night to head to the outfield for part one of two or three. Not sure exactly what we'll do just yet. We'll have some outfield shows there. Any final thoughts?
No, man. See you in the see you at the auction table in less than 24 hours. Let's do it.
And then, quick reminder, if you want to get in on the Baseball HQ draft prep subscription, it gets you all draft season plus April. You can get $10 off with a phenomenal promo code called Bubba26, B-U-B-B-A-26. Go check out the folks at Baseball HQ. Sign up with that promo code. Get you in there for $10 off. One last thing I want to say is thank you to everybody. This offseason has been awesome. You guys have been – the YouTube people have been great. Like, you guys have been rocking it. Listeners, like, you guys are – showing up early and often, and it's been great to see. So thank you for all that. Thank you to the Patreon members. And you guys keep showing us love. We'll keep doing what we do and get it to you guys. Just want to shout that one out real quick. But all right, make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter at RyanBHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intric. This is Bubba and the Bloom, episode 309. Catch you all next time.